As one of America's largest financial services companies, Nationwide supports financial professionals with client-friendly resources and innovative solutions to help create greater retirement security for their clients. Nationwide Investment Services Corporation, member FINRA, Columbus, Ohio.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by Eisner Amper. When entrepreneurs face challenges like choosing a business structure or access to capital, they call the accountants and advisors at Eisner Amper. Connect with them, EisnerAmper.com/tech. Global stocks are dropping as a slump in Chinese exports dragged commodity prices lower and brought equity's five-day winning streak to a halt. Japanese government bonds are surging in a haven asset rally that is lifting the yen, gold, and treasuries. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P E-mini futures down 8.5 points. Dow E-mini futures down 60. NASDAQ E-mini futures down 22. The DAX in Germany is down 0.5%. 10-year treasury up 16/32. The yield 1.84%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.1% or 4 cents. COMEX gold up 0.9% or $11.20. The euro $1.1015. The yen 113.07. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Tom and Mike.
Thank you, Karen Moscow. Joining us now, Dominic Constum. He's Global Head of Rates Research at Deutsche Bank. And let's have you put on your global hat, because the big issue of the week is the European Central Bank and what they're going to do. You're on record as saying they're going to do more, but it may not be what many in the market thinks. It's not necessarily going to be a deep cut in the deposit rate.
Right. So the concern recently has obviously been negative rates and the extent to which they may be hurting the financial system, although on the other hand, and helping the economy. And the issue is if they cut too deeply, some people are going to perhaps worry again about financial system in terms of profitability being a concern for raising capital and things like that.
Well, the question is on the other side, do they even have an impact? We are not seeing a big increase in bank lending in countries where they have imposed, in larger open economies where they have imposed negative rates.
Well, I think some people look at Sweden and Switzerland as negative rates actually being quite helpful. I think the issue there has been the structure of the balance sheets of the banks, whereby perhaps they have sort of higher loan deposit ratios in contrast to, say, the Japanese system and perhaps some of the other core European banks. So I think there's an open debate. So certainly the policymakers are on record as being quite constructive on how negative interest rates are helping the economy and have the potential to raise lending growth.
Potential, but the proof is not there yet.
Not definitively, but perhaps going in that direction. So I wouldn't rule it out. And I think the only issue is comes down to spreads, basically, the idea that banks are constrained to some extent on the deposit side because they can't pass through those negative rates. And perhaps there's a transitional phase whereby the assets that they're buying, they've got to be encouraged to take on sort of assets that are yielding more, which obviously means a little bit more risky, but those riskier loans are perhaps more supportive to growth.
It's always great when you're on. Out on Twitter, somebody said, Dominic Constum, he's a socialist. And, of course, it's an analysis of balance sheet dynamics. There's an American strand, a Lockean American ethos. Everyone for themselves. And if we had less taxes, things would solve out. It's sort of a pseudo-supply-side feel. Can America move forward given the realities of global balance sheets? And just the mass, the inertial mass of the global system, that 19th century American spirit. Can
yeah,
it retain?
Well, I mean, I'm definitely not a socialist, but everyone who knows me. I'm a libertarian, though. And I guess my only issue is I sort of understand the role that sort of socialist economics has. And there is a certain logic to when you have a problem, how you deal with it, and having to just accept that there needs to be some sort of transfer. So we have a low growth problem and we have some debt problems.
Okay, so we got Draghi on Thursday. Right. He's working within different flavors and sets of austerity, or at the minimum with one hand tied behind his back, with no fiscal effort, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's in a really difficult position in the sense that he's the only person who's really sort of doing the heavy lifting in terms of European growth and trying to sort of keep the whole union together and being challenged from left and right, including the Brexit issue. But I mean, I think within that confines, he's doing a pretty good job and he is delivering. And I think the key thing for Draghi is to basically make it clear that he understands all the issues that people have. So, for example, regarding the role of banks and banks being profitable enough to sustain growth in the broader economy, he understands that. He doesn't have to necessarily do anything explicit about it. He needs to make people feel comfortable that if it becomes an issue later on, then he's there to help out, basically.
If they don't do a significant cut in the deposit rate and they do more QE, as you suggest, how are they going to do that? They're at a point where they're going to have trouble buying bonds right. of certain countries.
Well, remember, I mean, they can also cut the refi rate as well. So that's going to be perhaps the most interesting thing, because there the refi rate is slightly above zero. I mean, you could take it negative. People may complain that, oh, look, you're paying banks to borrow money from the ECB. But then obviously if the banks are then taking that and on lending it in a more aggressive way, then that will be very good for profitability. So they could do that. The QE thing is, there's lots of things they can do in QE. I mean, they are, once they cut the deposit rate, they can buy more bonds because there is a limit to what they can buy if anything's trading below the deposit rate. So they've got that. And they can obviously signal other types of assets that they may be willing to buy.
To what you said 2 hours ago, is demand there for that new money? It's a demand issue, yeah. As you stated.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, I don't think, it's really difficult. I mean, I take an example where, you know, if I were to pay you to take a mortgage from me, you know, would you do it? And I do that when I have client meetings. I go and I ask the room, you know, how many of you would take a loan if I was going to pay you 1%? And, you know, a few people will get up and say, oh, definitely not, you know, because I have to pay this back, you know, sort of thing. And, or some people say, well, you know, more subtly, some people say, well, yeah, but if rates are going to continue to fall, maybe I'll delay, for example. You know, I don't necessarily want to lock it in now. And I may have credit issues of refinancing and things like that. So there are those more subtle issues. But in general, most people would borrow, would take the loan. So I'm not entirely convinced that there's always a demand problem. And I keep coming back to one of my basic economic tenets, which is supply creates its own demand. If you supply these loans, someone will probably take them. But you've got to supply them at the right price.
Brilliant.
I'll take a loan. It's got to be the right price, though.
That is our weekly briefing from Dominic Constant.
Yeah.
Good to have you in. Dominic Constant with Deutsche Bank, head of rate strategy there, and just terrific work over the years into, during, and out of this crisis. It just never gets dull, Mike.
I mean, wish it would.
Well,
I'm
it's
sure
not.
Dominic wishes it would for a little while.
3-month T-bill, 0.30%. 10-year yield, 1.85%. I believe we're still ultra-accommodative in this way or that way. Stay with us. More of Bloomberg Surveillance. Good morning.
Bloomberg Surveillance is brought to you by Bank of America Merrill Lynch, committed to bringing higher finance to lower carbon, named the most innovative investment bank for climate change and sustainability by The Banker. That's the power of global connections. Bank of America, N.A., FDIC.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.